Ho, ho, ho.
Ho, ho, ho.
How are you doing at this Christmas tide?
I'm doing wonderful. My heart is filled with joy and cheer.
Zo, dat klinkt echt... That sounds very, very scary, Caroline.
I just wanted to balance your heavy voice. Hey, but why does Rudolph go into town?
To get to wet his red nose.
To blow a few bucks.
Yeah, I think of that. Oh, wait.
Hey. For hip.
Yes, for hip. Hi, Caro. Welcome back.
Hello.
Good to see you again.
Good to see you
again.
It's
been a long time.
A long, long time.
Yes.
Welcome, everyone, to the best prepared Christmas podcast show you have ever heard. Hi, viewers. Hi, Data. Are you feeling Christmassy today?
I'm feeling reasonably Christmassy.
Yeah.
But, oh, we're back in Case of Hip. Some sound effects. Very good. yes. I might go to a vegan Christmas market today.
Interesting.
Yes, and the sun is shining, which it hasn't really done the last couple of days. Well, 2 days ago was very sunshiny, but I mean...
You mean the heavy snowstorm that our viewers have to picture right now?
Yes, yes, very heavy snow here in the Netherlands. Yeah. We couldn't really go outside.
2 hours to reach Casaverhip, but I'm here now. And, we are ready.
Falling with the bicycles and everything.
It was quite dangerous, but
yes,
I'll do anything. For hip.
Yes. How are you doing with the Christmas? Are you mulling the wine?
I'm always mulling the wine.
Are you bawling this Christmas?
I am bawling like no other.
Good to hear.
Yeah, no, I love Christmas. I could have eggnog every day, and mulled wine is up there too for me.
Yeah, you like Glühwein?
I love Glühwein. I even like the really crappy bottled stuff, you know, like it doesn't have to be homemade with all the fancy spices. Just give me one of those 2 euro bottles and I'm good.
That's very good. That's very good.
Do you have Christmas spirit?
A Christmas spirit. I have to get into it. This is the moment before Christmas where you don't have time to think about Christmas spirit. Plus, from my work, I work in the hospitality sector. And as a senior executive floor manager.
Ooh.
No, my boss corrected me and said that I was a junior. And, anyway, I'm reaching my maximum of Mariah Carey already.
That's fair.
But I mean, usually that maximum is reached after one time. So, hey, that's...
I read somewhere this week that there's people who play this game every year, and the goal is to go as long as possible without hearing Wham's Last Christmas. It's incredibly difficult because it means you really can't go to a supermarket or a Christmas party or anything.
I like Last Christmas, though.
Me too.
This is one of
it's my favorite Christmas song.
Yeah, I do like that. Yes.
Anyway.
So for today.
You're not really a Christmas film kind of person.
I don't know a lot of Christmas movies. I never was home at Christmas. I used to sing in an Anglican boys choir, so my Christmases were always kind of busy.
I see.
With that, and after I stopped singing, I haven't really responded by watching more Christmas movies. So I've never really seen a lot.
You know many beautiful Christmas songs, but Christmas films is not your thing.
Yeah, but what I am a connoisseur of is the moment after Christmas when you're with your family still maybe going someplace and then watching a movie all together. And you do have like a Christmas holiday, the holiday movie, not the holiday film, the film, the holiday, but just...
You mean the kind of thing that will be on TV in the 90s, like Gremlins or Home Alone?
Yeah, but also just other films. And I have some ingredients for a good Christmassy movie.
Yeah, we were thinking a good angle for someone who isn't necessarily a Christmas film connoisseur would be, what would your ideal Christmas film look like? And what ingredients would add up to...
Yeah, and just for the record, you are a Christmas connoisseur, a Christmas film connoisseur.
I'm not sure if I call myself a connoisseur, but definitely a lover. I've seen almost everything that Netflix has released in the past few years.
That's a lot.
There were some very, very low lows. Also at Xenema, we love doing bad Christmas films. One that really stood out in the last years was Santa with Muscles, where Hulk Hogan suffers terrible amnesia and thinks he's Santa Claus. Would recommend that one.
Yeah, we've discussed it last year at the Christmas episode. Did you know that?
No, I did not.
Hulk went through a whole series of bad Christmas title names with the question whether they were real or not. And I did get sent them with Muscles, yeah.
Excellent.
or didn't I? I don't know. But I remember talking about this.
It exists, and our gentle viewers, you really need to go see this one. But yeah. Today I think we're going to try to make something a bit more highbrow. Not necessarily. We will come up with the formula for a really good Christmas
film. Yeah, we'll do a pitch at the end. So let's start with you. What's your first ingredient for a good Christmas movie?
Well, I have a question for you, and that is, what do you think is Christmas? Why do people love it so much?
Yeah, it's just a way to get through the winter, right?
Yeah.
The dark days. Everybody is busy right before it, because every bit of work has to be done before the deadlines that come soon after. So. It's more just the calculated risk of drinkage and
we're all stressed, we're all unhappy, and we try to remedy that with loads of lights and warm drinks. And
yes.
Okay, fair
enough. Yes, and hangovers.
Of course. Personally, I think people love Christmas because Christmas holds this promise of everything being full of love and wholesome things and also being, jolly and full of cheer.
Okay.
So, What I think a good Christmas film offers people is that feeling in particular. And the first ingredient that you need to get there, in my book, is a very lonely protagonist.
Very lonely.
Yes, because if they start off being all cheery and loving, then, there's no story arc.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, film starts, everyone's happy, so done. I mean, you can't make a film like that. There has to be some contrast.
Yeah, you know this theory that every Christmas film ever made is actually a version on, the Christmas Carol by, Dickens?
Dickens, yes.
Yeah.
We'll very get into lonely, that in a little bit because I want to talk about Scrooged.
Yeah, she's Scrooged character. But every It's a Wonderful Life is like that. Is he lonely? But at some point he'll get lonely at least, something like that.
Yes.
And lose the Christmas spirit. Which
I would
is
say in A Wonderful Life, the protagonist is lonely in his struggles.
Okay. Do you have an example of this lonely character?
Well, basically all of them. So Scrooged is a good one. That's about a man named Frank Cross. He's a television executive. He wouldn't describe himself as lonely because he is this snappy television president sort of man, and he's rich and he doesn't care, but he also doesn't know how to connect to people. So that would be my example.
Okay. For me, a good holiday movie, at least, is something to do with a mystery.
A mystery?
It's a mystery. There is something that has to be solved. And I come to the murder mystery. I mean, just a few weeks ago, I think Disney Plus released the new Kenneth Branagh Agatha Christie adaptation of A Haunting in Venice. And like a whodunit, that works perfectly fine. Knives Out came out last year. There always is a murder mystery like that coming out around this time that you can sit down with the family and just view this preposterous nonsense, which is always clue-based. And
murder mysteries tend to be filmed in really glorious mansions and that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
So yeah, it does.
I also thought of Gosford Park, for instance, which we quite often mention on this podcast. But like a whodunit, a good murder mystery, something that you all can sit down and be like, oh, I knew it. I always knew they'd done it.
Are you good at murder mysteries?
It depends on how preposterous they are. With A Haunting in Venice, I heard myself shout at one point, yeah, I knew that. And I thought to myself, but did I? Or am I just making it? But yeah, that film has it's very fun though. Like brief segue, but Murder on the Orient Express by Kenneth Branagh. It's a bit preachy at the end. Death on the Nile. Death on the Nile. And then The Haunting in Venice, which was the first one that he didn't remake from another movie that has existed previously. And it's so preposterous and fun and nonsensical that it is actually fun again. So I do recommend that one. Mm. Yes.
Sounds good.
Yes.
What would be another ingredient for you.
Some good food.
Some good food.
Yeah, not only, I think it's important that in film you have a lot of good food showing around, that you think to yourself, oh, maybe I'll make something like that. So I thought of the bear. The bear has the Seven Fishes episode, which lasts a full hour and could be qualified as a short film of their of its own. But yeah, that's a good Phantom Thread. I always come to Phantom Thread, but Phantom Thread has the best breakfast scenes ever designed. I mean,
it's true. There's some beautiful food in
there. Oh yeah, yeah, and how it's shot as well, and then you get a close up just of somebody pouring coffee, and you're like, yeah, damn, that's a good cup of coffee, and you turn into Kyle MacLachlan in Twin Peaks. Also, damn.
Speaking of lonely protagonists, that's another good example.
And I also got a weird example, but Spencer. Which was a Christmas get-together, but with food that seemed to come straight out of hell because, well, Diana Spencer had bulimia. So every time you see food, you get scared in a way. But there is a lot of food in there.
I wasn't sure what Spencer was, but it's the Diana.
Yeah.
Princess Great Diana film. Biopic. Nice.
Yes. Do you have another ingredient?
Well, I do. I was just still trying to think about films that depict food really well. Which is kind of on topic. Yeah. So, have you ever seen Julie and Julia?
I've never even heard of it.
Do you know who Nora Ephron is?
Yeah, I do have. I have heard of Nora Ephron.
Okay, so that's one of my favorite directors of all time. She made many, Christmassy films, but also very autumnal films. So, an example is You've Got Mail, Meg Ryan and Tom Hanks, Falling in Love in New York, on the internet, technically. She also made Julie and Julia, in which Amy Adams is trying to cook her way through a cookbook in order to learn how to cook. And we also see many flashbacks of the writer of the cookbook, Julia Child, played by Meryl Streep. This film is, it's one of the most wholesome films ever made in my book. I always watch it when I'm sick, unless I'm nauseous because and you don't want to see it, but
there's a food.
There is a lot of food in there. If you love food, you should see this one. So that would be one Christmas tip.
Okay, that's although, a good ingredient.
I can't remember if it really features Christmas. Yes, it does. There are Christmas scenes. Perfect.
Wow.
Yes.
Awesome.
Good. Okay.
Do you have a final ingredient?
Well, no, that wasn't my ingredient.
Oh, there wasn't even. There was just an.
No, I was still talking about your second ingredient.
You also had good food.
No, I did not. No.
Get into it, the second one.
My ingredients are more conceptual, I'd say. So my second one is a belief in goodness. And
coming back to the Christmas carol theory again.
Yes, exactly. So what happens in, for example, one of my other favorite Christmas films of all time, namely Elf, is that we follow Will Ferrell, who's a Christmas elf, but he doesn't really fit in. Again, lonely protagonist, because he's really tall and he's not actually short like all the other elves.
I think I've seen half of this film once. Yeah.
Fair enough. He finds out probably he's not a full-blood elf, and he tries to find his human father in New York City. Elf is one of these characters who's so naive and so much focused on everything that's going well all the time that he's actually extremely annoying because everything's just rainbows and puppies and sunshine for him. He eats breakfast a big plate of spaghetti that he sprinkles with M&Ms and maple syrup and all of this gives him great joy. Dear. Yeah.
That sounds terrible. Spaghetti with maple syrup.
Yes. But the point here is, I think, that you can't really have Christmas without believing that there's something good or beautiful or having a serious focus on love. And the protagonist at some point has to deal with that, I think, in order to have a good Christmas film.
Okay. I have the last one, which is very, very, very wholesome.
Okay.
And it's the gathering of people. Because you cannot gather to some good food or to a murder mystery without having the people there to facilitate it. So let's say,
I mean, that would
right
be
now
waste.
I'm getting into a gathering of people regarding a murder mystery that surrounds some good food. That might be the case. But so, yeah, I've got Love Actually, which has a lot of people all over the place, but then they all connect via the Christmas spirit in a way. Or Knives Out, Notting Hill, or some dinners from hell, like in Luis Buñuel, you often see that, Viridiana, L by Paul Verhoeven, or, again, The Bear, which is a Christmas dinner with a lot of people, and it, at the end, turns out to be from hell. like really from hell. It is not kidding, the best Jamie Lee Curtis performance that she has ever done. That's in The Bear, season 2, episode 7, if I'm not mistaken.
Hard to believe, so I have to see this.
It's awesome.
That's wonderful.
Yeah. Yeah, so, and also a film that has a good meal around it with a gathering, but it would be Gosford Park.
Mm.
Yeah. So what's your final ingredient?
My final ingredient is less conceptual. I agree with you a little bit on the food theme or whatever. I would say maybe it's like the atmosphere. So Christmas lights and snow and stuff. You don't really have to have it. There are Christmas films that are really good that are not very heavy on those things. But I think combining those with the other two things I just said, that rounded off.
Yeah.
Yeah, you need to feel Christmas too, and just love and togetherness isn't enough. Then you just have a good romance film.
Yeah.
You need the food and the lights and the Christmas trees.
Yeah. So you've got the lights, I bring the food.
I feel like together we created.
So I have a final pitch. Do you want to hear it?
I would love to hear it.
I call this film that I would want to see at Christmas. I call it, I don't know if it's made, but I would call it Gosford Park. Mm. I don't know if the viewers at home are paying attention to our podcast. I wouldn't blame you if you didn't. It's a podcast. It's in the background. Plus, it's with me. I ramble a lot. But where I ramble a lot about is Gosford Park. And I know it sounds very unoriginal to bring it up again. But then again, it's Robert Altman doing an Agatha Christie-style murder mystery. Not so much a whodunit as a who cares whodunit, because what's more important is the people, Michael Gambon, what's her name, Maggie Smith, many more. It's just star-studded all over. And if you don't know about this film, well, this is written by the guy who eventually conceived of a spin-off series to this film, but which turned out to be Downton Abbey. So it is Downton Abbey, but murder mystery and way more satirical. And I watched this last year with my family because it's such a funny film. It's really, really funny. Michael Gambon in particular, he's such an amazing dickhead. He's phenomenal. And Maggie Smith is already doing everything that she's going to do in Downton Abbey, because she's the only cast member that is featured in both.
I mean, they picked the right one. I think I've seen Gosford Park at some point, but I don't really remember. I did watch Downton Abbey, and if it's anything like that, and if Maggie Smith is the same in both, then even better, then I have to see it again, because she is by far the best character in Downton Abbey.
And I know I come back to Gosford Park, but I was sitting down doing the
math. Well, that's a good reason for
here.
Me to watch it, or we can never really properly discuss it, so I'll add it to my Christmas list.
I did the math, and in the end, Gosford Park turns out constantly, pops up again and again as this epitome of a lot of things that I would want. It's just such a good film. Go and watch it with some people. It's better with people than alone.
Okay. I'll take that to heart.
Yes, and for you?
Well, I know I already mentioned some films. To me, there are some that I also think just have all of these ingredients. Before I start explaining why I love these films so much, I want to read you a little review on Metacritic for the film Scrooged. So that's the one I was just talking about with the television executive played by Bill Murray, who's kind of a cold-hearted man at the beginning. He is Scrooge. This is one-on-one based on the Dickens story. The Chicago Reader gave Scrooged a 2 out of 10 rating. They wrote this: "Tacky in the extreme, this self-congratulatory 1988 film is an exercise in hypocrisy, indulging every form of Christmas exploitation that it pretends to attack, and many of the laughs are forced." Well, that is scathing.
That is scathing.
I think I understand where it comes from. So let me start by saying I by no means want to defend Scrooged as a very good film or anything. It's quite bad in many respects. But coming back to all the ingredients that I love, so we have a lonely protagonist. This is a man who does not know how to connect to anyone. We have no belief in goodness in the beginning, at least, because, you know, he doesn't have it. He is cold-hearted. He would sell his grandma for a dime if that would suit him, you know. Also, it looks nice and Christmassy here and there. I love this 80s aesthetic.
We have heard that the 80s yes. aesthetic is very important to you.
That keeps coming back,
yeah,
huh?
Yeah. What a gospel.
But I think the reason I love Scrooge so much is because there are a lot of people in the world, and I used to include myself in this group very much, who are very cynical and who really struggle to connect to like this goodness.
Yes.
And they might be really annoyed by Christmas because they're like, oh, everything's supposed to be happy and loving and whatever, peace on earth, blah, blah, blah. I'm just going to make some money and fuck everyone else. I kind of get that, you know. But watching Scrooge and seeing Scrooge, well, I mean,
yeah.
Frank Cross, go through this development where he starts to become a bit more naive and starts to believe in the Christmas miracle, I think is a profoundly healing experience that every cynic should be able to experience at some point. To contrast it with Elf is, I think, interesting because I think that represents another part that a lot of people have, and that is some kind of naive joy and an almost, I struggle to find the word, but an inability to stop focusing on what's good. And that is equally unhealthy, as we all know. If everything has to be good all the time and everything's like positivity, happy, rainbows, laughs, that will also derail your life in very serious ways.
It's a good good recommendation, this. But have you seen It's a Wonderful Life?
Yes, definitely.
You have. And how does it compare to Scrooge for you? You see, I saw It's a Wonderful Life last year at Christmas, and I thought it was lovely. And everybody, it's Frank Capra.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it's
it's beautiful.
It sounds to me like the only remarkable difference with It's a Wonderful Life is that you get Jimmy Stewart at the beginning being sympathetic before he reaches the point where he's becoming cynical, but it's
right.
Just the only difference would be that Scrooge starts off with somebody who you don't know the past of, whereas with It's a Wonderful Life, you first get the past before you get to the bad stuff.
That's true. I would say A Wonderful Life is probably a very balanced or like an in-between version of Scrooge and Elf, because Scrooge starts off with someone who's just really cynic. Elf starts off with someone who's like too happy. They both need to learn some things before they can appreciate what it means to actually care about someone or to, you know, to really feel the miracle of Christmas. I think Jimmy Stewart kind of goes through that process on his own in the film. He goes back and forth. So he starts loving, he goes cynic, and then he has to go back to loving again.
Yeah.
That's my answer. In any case, I think these films all really manage to portray what you want for Christmas, which is the feeling of a Christmas miracle.
That's also what brings us to our
fair, hip, top tip.
Stop being cynical. Hang a light in the tree. Prepare some good food. And enjoy the mystery.
And kiss someone under the mistletoe. Yeah, it was beautiful.
Okay, I've got a question for the new rubric. I'm doing this flip, but hey.
Oh yeah.
We haven't a name for this new segment.
No, we don't. But I'll come up with something next time.
But hey, I have a question.
Mm-hmm.
This is the new segment, by the way. The new jingle.
Yeah. This was my jingle. Finally, that has been
new jingle
badgering me for ages. Like, when are you going to come up with a jingle?
This something is like Animal Facts with Dijkema. But we have to make it sound. But hey,
we're open to suggestions.
Do reindeers have a red nose?
No, they do not.
Ah, well, that was a very short new introduction of this.
I have to backpedal a little because, of course, we can't say, like, logically all reindeer on Earth don't have red noses. Some of them have just, you know, stuck their nose in some berries. They are going to have a red nose. And some others may be bleeding from their nose. They also have a red nose. But on average, no. Reindeer do not have red noses.
They can be a bit pinkish.
Anyway, the point of this new
is there a point?
I just want to explain what it means when this music comes on, you know? So, the viewers hear this. And then what happens? Then I want to share something about animals because I love animals.
Yeah, and now I flipped it around with a question.
Yes, Excellent.
Very good.
Good work.
Nice. Ha 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 ha, and ho ho ho, jolly Ooh. And merry, we come here gathering and discussing our Christmas movies.
That's my line.
Is that your... who cares?
I don't. Well, extremely prepared. Well yes. executed.
Well, that at least.
Excellent.
Plus, we have some great news.
We do?
We do have some great news, apart from Carolina's first own segment, which is very important.
And a very good jingle, if I do say so myself.
Oh, it's one of the best that I've heard. I mean, it's a physical jingle with a tool. I'll put a photo up on Instagram because it's awesome.
Mm.
And it doesn't make any sense to me, even though I have seen it now for a good hour.
Absurdity doesn't go.
Yes, but no, I've got great news because it's a next week is the end of the year show for HIP, where I'll be going through my favorite and least favorite films of the year, and we have a guest host for next week because we do, and but it's also part of a bigger segment. In the coming year, I'll be making a spin-off sidequel for HIP podcast called
"Dirty in the Wild." Dirty in the Wild.
Yeah,
oh
that in the wild. Yes, in this podcast, every outing in the wild will feature me and a guest that's that week's expert in the wild. And my adventures in the wild start with a film that we all need to know more about. And so me and the week's expert will discuss the topics and all the links that pop up, connecting the dots and finding our way step by step in conquering the world, film world's last frontiers, the wild that we have to tame. I don't know, or not tame. We have to just find our way. And next week's wilderness will be the best and the worst films of the year. And who better to help me than warm summer and Hallmark movie specialist? Johnny van der Waarde. Yeah! Woo! That's good news.
That's excellent news.
Yes.
I have one question.
Yes.
Will you ever discuss the film Into the Wild?
Maybe.
Or maybe Wild Child.
Maybe that I actually know an expert on this film.
Excellent.
That would be very cool. I've been wanting to re-see, and I've been not wanting to re-watch Wild Child for so long because I have a good memory of it, and I know it will be a bad film when I see it again. I just don't know if I can handle the badness.
No, that's fair enough.
But I remember everything, the cross and the sandwich with fries. And her hair going from blonde to brown. And then everybody saying, oh my God, you just look like your mother. Like from in that picture. And all those things. And the lacrosse match at the end. And
I mean, I think you're already very excited
for this. See, I know everything about this. I have remembered this very vividly.
Okay. I have one more suggestion. And that is, yes. I know the point of this thing is not at all to do things that has wild in the title. But I do hope one day you will discuss Wild at Heart. Because that is a banger.
Yeah, it could be. Could be. Why not?
All right.
Yes.
Anything else, Data?
Happy holidays, everybody.
Happy holidays.
Yes. Anything else?
And a glorious new year.
Oh, the glorious new year. How good is that?
Woo!
Now.
Now.
Ik zet even een pannetje glühwein op het vuur, hoor. Oh, jongens.
Watch. Het is een Christmas film.